warning. Yes, this is about the point during the podcast where we would normally provide you a lovely warning telling you about all the wonderful things that are going to happen if you continue to listen. But seeing as you probably listened to at least one episode before even diving into this, you probably already know. And if not, go back to an old episode and listen to the first 30 seconds or so and you'll kind of understand. That being said, the beginning of this year has sucked. We're actually getting a very slow start to things, and this is a podcast that we're releasing fairly late due to the fact that COVID ran through the entire group. We've lost some wonderful people this year, and we lost Miss Betty White just before the beginning of the year. And we've also lost some greats such as Bob Saget, Meatloaf, Louis Anderson, Sidney Poitier, and many others. So sit back for a few minutes and listen to this tribute podcast that we did for Betty White, and try not to begrudge us for not adding the warning to the beginning. Thank you. Welcome to the first episode of Cinematic Anarchy for 2022. And we're going to go ahead and tiptoe into the new year with a slightly somber tone here at the beginning of the podcast. With me today, we have Miss B.
Hello! And the universe gave us a bad omen for the end of the year.
A bad omen for the end of the year to start the beginning of the new year.
It's fucking bullshit. I don't have any high hopes for 2022 after this shit.
We are coming to you today on the weekend of the new year with a somber tone because of the passing of the legendary Miss Betty White shortly before her 100th birthday.
17 days.
And so... with that in mind, we're going to go ahead and talk about some things that we've watched her in, and we just recently watched The Proposal. This is not a movie that we normally would do for our podcast.
Yeah, but it's Betty fucking White, so...
But, yes, because it is Betty White, we felt the need to dive into something of hers, and there's other things that I've seen her in that I think she's fucking hilarious.
And it was the only thing that I could find that was free.
Right. Lake Placid, not free. Actually, very tough to find, to be honest.
Yeah.
I was looking across even the rental sites, and I'm like, why is Lake Placid not here? Like, you have number 2, 3, 4, all the other Lake Placids, but the number 1, the Betty White one, why is that not there?
Because fuck you, that's why.
Because fuck you. We will start off today talking about a very funny, romantic... I can't even call it a romantic comedy. It was so... the opposite of romantic, honestly.
Yeah, no. It's not really romantic at all. I think it's just comedy.
Yeah, it's more comedy than anything else. It's Ryan Reynolds. You know, Reynolds is... I can't...
You got Sandra Bullock singing balls with Betty White around a fucking fire. It's fucking beautiful.
Dancing around the fire, yeah. Native American style, singing Get Low.
To the window, to the walls.
That was probably the best part of the movie, honestly.
It was.
That was the best part of the movie, just Betty White and Sandra Bullock doing Get Low.
Yep.
Best part of the film, hands down. Nothing against Ryan Reynolds, but...
he was funny the entire time, but Betty White fucking carried it.
It was a Betty White film. It's a Betty White film. To hell with Sandra Bullock.
She's the star.
As she should be. She should have been the
star
of more.
As she should be.
She was the one that carried the Golden Girls. And she was the one that carried Hutton Cleveland. Without her and those shows don't exist and are not as popular as they were.
She's been in fucking everything.
She has. She kind of does cameos everywhere.
Yeah. And she always plays herself.
Exactly. I mean, kind of the don't give a shit grandma with attitude.
The world's grandma.
The world's grandma. You know, they have this thing on Snapchat called Gangster Granny. And I think without Betty White, Gangster Granny doesn't exist.
Oh, you are fucking right. I'm about to fucking eat my boyfriend, cook him up rotisserie style over a goddamn spit and fire, fucking eat him if you don't shut up.
Well, just so you know, I couldn't actually hear him, and I really don't want to watch you eat him, so...
He's taunting me.
He's taunting you?
Once again, at the 4-minute mark into the podcast, this is Fredo doing his best to interrupt Miss B on the other side of what needs to be a video call so we can get this kind of recording done. You can't see this, but he taunts her on a continual basis, interjects at different points, and just kind of causes a lot of dead spots that we have to edit around. Yeah. I'm not editing
fucking
this one out.
Rude.
I'm not editing this one out. You can eat your boyfriend. Just do it off camera, please.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to fucking risk you or my NSA agent having fucking video evidence.
Right, right. No cannibalism for the camera. We're good. We're good.
I'm not that smart, but I mean, I'm not smart-ish, but, you know, smart enough not to do that.
Right. That's solid evidence, like, right here. Well, I'm not recording this. I'm just recording the audio portion, so... It's tough to give yourself...
Yeah, but you don't know what the fuck people... What the fuck weirdo kind of people can, like, hack through into your fucking webcam and see me and us and what's going on.
I mean, who knows they're not watching right now?
Who knows? Exactly! Everybody's always watching! It's a conspiracy. I will fucking eat you, bro.
Just eat him already. Get it over with. Eat him, then we don't have to hear him anymore. Really.
Oh, my God. I hit my fucking mic.
Yes, I heard that. You don't have to eat him. What you need to do is just bound and gag him and throw him in a closet. That's all you need to do.
See, that's the thing. He can, like, overpower me with a pinky.
Yeah?
Yeah. Did you say something? I will...
Do you know how to overpower him? Offer to get him a drink, but don't tell him what's in it. Anyway, you know...
True.
Render him unconscious without... advising him that you're rendering
we
him
we are not gonna roofie my boyfriend.
No? Why not? Why not? Wouldn't it make things so much easier?
Shh.
Okay. Okay, I'll be quiet.
You shush!
He can't hear me, though. He can't hear me. He can hear you saying things.
Yeah, but the people in the other rooms...
What other rooms? Nobody else can
hear
me. Yours. My room? There's nobody here. It's quiet today.
Look at you.
Well, everybody's in their own respective rooms. I've got complete control over the living space today, which is where we're doing the recording. So, they're over there. Nobody can hear me conspire to roofie your boyfriend so that he will be quiet for further podcasts. We'll keep
anyway.
It that way. Anyway, moving back into the Betty
back
White
to Betty White
life. The proposal is a...
Yeah.
This is not the kind of movie that we normally do. We don't normally do high-budget flicks that did well. We definitely do not do romantic comedies. We don't do those kinds of films. But this was one of the least romantic comedies I've ever seen.
Right?
Right. Like, they were completely disgusted with each other, and learning that underneath their disgust for each other in their working relationship... There is still a human being here and a human being there. They are going to make for one fantastically dysfunctional couple. Fantastically dysfunctional.
You are right.
I think. That being said, in normal life, I would never pair Sandra Bullock with Ryan Reynolds. Ever. Ever. This is like a fantasy.
I don't know. Isn't she like a really nice person?
Yes, but just them in general. I don't personally. The only chemistry the two of them had was their mutual disgust for each other on screen. And when they broke out of that mutual disgust near the end and they kissed, I was like, that is the most unnatural thing that I've ever seen.
Right?
Just no. So the only chemistry they had was when they hated each other. And once the hate disappeared and it fell into love, the romantic portion of the comedy fell apart.
Yeah.
As far as I was concerned. So you had to lean on Betty White and how fucking hilarious she was.
Betty White's the fucking best.
Yes. And Betty White pretending to smoke up and be on drugs or peyote or whatever the hell she's doing. That's even better.
Faking the heart attack just to, like, get them to the airport.
Or how about the magical blanket that has,
Baby-making abilities.
Don't throw that on the bed. And he tosses it right on the bed.
No.
Here's the quick thought. The thought in my process is, How does she know? Where was this quilt?
Because she's grandma. Grandmas know everything.
How do you know that that wasn't the blanket or quilt that grandma conceived mom under?
Probably is. It's and been passed down the family for generations.
That is one cum-stained blanket. That's all I'm saying. You don't want to take a black light to that.
I mean, I would assume Gammy knows how to keep shit clean.
Maybe.
They're rich. They have, like, dry cleaners and shit.
Sometimes you just don't get the stains out.
I don't know, Gammies, they got some, like, magical abilities to keep shit clean.
You know, well, it's one of those things, like, it's supposed to be a magical blanket. It's got magical properties for baby making. Maybe it's one of those things, like, you know, how baseball players won't change their underwear when they're on a streak. You know? You never know. You know, maybe...
I don't want to think about that.
Maybe
cleaning... Moving on.
Maybe cleaning the blanket takes away the magical properties. It just... It's only up in the closet until somebody thinks they need to make a baby. And then they put it back away. They don't clean it. It just sits there. You never know. Oh, that... If you could actually see the look on Miss B's face, the disgust that she has in me right now, it's priceless.
Absolutely soul-shattering.
Priceless, yes. You gotta think of those things. Hey, it's a lucky blanket. Why is it lucky? Because it's never been cleaned and two children have been conceived underneath it. You know, it was a big family, too. It was a big family. It could have been more than
huge.
One. Could have been more than
probably
one.
Probably is. Probably all of them.
It's just passed around the family as this weird, like, blanket of...
Sex blanket.
It's just a sex orgy blanket. Like, everybody's like, everybody has oh, sex God. Underneath
it. Moving on! I don't want to think about family orgies. No.
Let alone ones involving Betty White.
I'm sure Betty White turned anything into a comedy, so...
Have you seen some of the older pictures of Betty White? She was a very good-looking woman.
She was she's beautiful.
Yes. So, I can kind of believe her having
Gammy can get it.
I can kind of believe her having the whole GILF persona. You know what I mean?
Gammy can fucking get it.
I guarantee you she can.
I hit the mic again.
You see all those comedy specials with her surrounded by shirtless young men? All one quarter her age?
Yep.
Granny can definitely get it. I agree. I've actually watched Betty White. I'm not going to talk about The Proposal too much because while I did enjoy the film, it's really... That's the only thing I can say about it is it was probably the worst romantic comedy I've ever seen because there was no romance in it. And when the romance hit, it was like the most uncomfortable thing. Just watching them kiss was uncomfortable. And I'm like, I've seen Ryan Reynolds in romantic comedies and he does so much better than this. So why Sandra Bullock? Why is he so uncomfortable with her?
Because she's a fucking she-bitch.
She was.
Her character.
She was a she-bitch the entire movie, but at that point he was supposed to have been in love with her. You know?
Yeah. I don't know.
So that uncomfortable kiss... You know, I think that uncomfortable kiss could have been avoided. Like, maybe they couldn't switch off the disgust that they had spent most of the movie kind of boiling up.
Yeah.
And then they kiss, and it's just, that's horrible. Ryan, don't do it. Oh, God. If you could have cast anybody else but Sandra Bullock in that film, who would you have cast opposite of Ryan Reynolds? Who do you think would have done it? Would there have been somebody that could have done a better job, or do you think we'd have to replace Ryan Reynolds with someone else?
You know what?
I think that you could have made the film a little easier if you took Ryan Reynolds out of the equation. Bad as that sounds, I like Ryan Reynolds, but if you had put somebody like a Gerard Butler across the way from her, or like, I don't know. I think Gerard Butler's the first guy that comes to mind. Even Hugh Jackman, if you had put him across the way from her in the film. But
I would have replaced her with, like, Aubrey Plaza.
Aubrey Plaza?
Yeah.
At that time, though, but was Aubrey Plaza was very young at that
Aubrey
time.
Aubrey Plaza now.
Yeah, Aubrey Plaza now. But back when that film came out, she was quite a bit younger. Yeah. You know who might have done well across the way from him? Kate Hudson.
Yeah.
Might have done fairly well across the way from him because she most of her movies she kind of gravitates between
Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep. We're gonna go for the cougar thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I guess she could have done what Glenn Close for that matter. Glenn Close would have been an interesting. But that would have brought a whole different dynamic to the movie. Like, completely different.
Yeah, right?
You could kind of believe the power struggle portion of it, too. Like, if the player, the person that was across from Ryan, was a little older. Like, her thinking she has power over him, but not quite understanding when the thing flips around. And he's like, no, no, wait a minute. You might get deported, and I might end up in jail for 5 years. I think I've got the power here now to negotiate. I'm not doing this unless we come to terms here. And he still ends up marrying her. I don't know. Yeah. Ugh.
Oh, you know what?
What?
Angela Bassett.
Angela Bassett would have done a good job.
Yeah!
That's actually an intriguing thought. Angela Bassett in that movie.
Fucking right?
Because she's kind of a certifiable badass,
too. She's an intimidating bitch.
Oh, yeah. She could be intimidating as hell, but she's also been very good in, like, romantic films.
Yeah.
So I think that might have gone over far better than Sandra Bullock.
Facts.
Because she's had a couple of films.
Owen! What the fuck, bro?
And this is the other man in Miss B's life that's currently speaking up. Barking at high volume right behind her. He sees something out the window. That's what's going on. Or sees himself in the reflection.
I will fucking... Hang on.
Miss B's go-to thing when one of the men in her life starts screaming at high volume is she's going to eat them. And I think she's going to eat Owen right now. So, moving past the loudly barking Owen that just gave Miss B a minor heart attack, there have been several other things that I have watched Miss Betty White in that I've enjoyed in the past. One of which... was a film that we actually had a lot of difficulty finding. Unfortunately, neither of us could find it for free, but still a great film. Lake Placid was a great film. I will forever remember... I can't hear you, by the way.
Yeah, no, my mute button was being weird. I'm pretty sure I've watched Lake Placid, like, once years ago. Don't remember much of it.
There is one line in that film that will forever cement Betty White in my memory. And it is because she is going nose to nose with this guy. Basically, her husband was eaten by the alligator, right? Uh-huh. She has actually been feeding the alligator, as you see throughout the film. She's been leading cattle to the water and feeding the alligator because she has sort of a kinship with it. But before that...
It's Betty White. She's a fucking animal activist.
The local sheriff's officer starts interrogating Betty White, asking if she had purposefully fed her husband to the alligator, basically. Betty White looks him dead in the eye and says, "If I were a man, this is about the point in time where I would tell you to suck my dick."
I love her.
And hearing those words come out of Betty White's mouth, like, that was the most vulgar that I had ever heard her up until then. Up until then, she was Rose, the cute little kind of ditzy girl in The Golden Girls. And having heard her do that in that movie, I was like, why isn't she in more? Why isn't she in more film? You know, forget Cloris Leachman. Forget bringing out the old moms from old TV shows. Just put Betty White in everything. I would have loved it.
Right?
She should have done so much more work.
Facts. I would like to see her in, like, more films.
If she does
a whole lot of voice acting.
If you go back over our podcast, several different movies, we did pitch storms with her involved.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she was the go-to matriarch for, like, everything that we did. Like, what would be the funniest thing to do here? Put Betty White in it. Even when we were doing that mock Suspiria movie, put Betty White in it.
Absolutely. Fucking, are you kidding me? She makes everything better.
She does. We're going to go into our sponsors after the first. We've finished the first part of this podcast here, and we're going to, right after we're done with our sponsor, we're going to do a quick pitch storm. Before, though, I just want to say we've dedicated this entire podcast. Thank you, Betty White. You are a bright spot in everybody's life, and we are deeply, deeply dismayed to see you go.
She was supposed to live forever. She was the one person I genuinely believed would figure out how to live forever.
She should have outlived us all.
Should have.
Okay, so, Rolling into the second half of the podcast here, thank you for spending time listening to our sponsor. And we are going to go ahead and move into a pitch storm. We haven't done one in a little while, I think, since we had the Scream Queens on.
Yep.
So, this particular pitch storm is going to start like this. A family of cannibal hillbillies competes against the rich kid team in a heartwarming underdog story. I don't know how you have a heartwarming underdog story with this kind of setup, you know, a family of cannibal hillbillies versus rich kids in a heartwarming underdog story. Where does the underdog thing come into place?
The cannibal hillbillies, they're just trying to go about their daily life. I want it to be on some, like, have you seen, what's that fucking Drew Barrymore zombie show?
Oh, the Santa Clarita Diet?
Yeah. I want it to be, like, whimsical like that.
I feel, here's what we should do. We're talking a camp environment. The cannibal hillbillies, to maintain their cannibalistic lifestyle, invite children and parents to come to partake in sort of a camp thing. So the kids start at the camp, and they have a feeling that something's wrong. But they don't quite know what it is. It isn't until the parents' day happens that they fully realize what's happening. So basically the parents' day is going to be all of these all of the children competing against one another in sort of track and field events, archery, so on and so forth. So you have the underprivileged kids who were invited, and you have the wealthy parents who actually paid to get their children in. Okay. Yeah. And the teams are divided exactly as so. So you have the parents that kind of got scholarships to bring these kids to this wealthy camp run by unbeknownst cannibals. And then you have these wealthy families who also bring their children there, but they're the ones paying the way for everybody, basically. So.
What the fuck, Thomas?
Oh my god, okay. So, just so everybody has an update, Thomas thinks you guys know him as Viking. We call him Viking, but Thomas thinks that he's going to text us in the middle of recording, and we're not going to tell the entire fucking world what he just said. So,
oh my god,
Thomas,
that's terrible.
Thomas texts, "My New Year's resolution is to get a penis pump." So, thank you, Thomas, for
you
that
okay, bro?
Mental image. Thank
Didn't
you.
Need it.
It works very well along with the whole idea of Betty White, doesn't it? Thomas in a penis pump?
Yeah.
Betty White?
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe Betty White got him feeling a certain way. Who knows?
Stop. Okay, we're moving on. Okay, so for the dad of the cannibals, I want Doug Jones. Grandma's Betty White. Mom is Toni Collette.
Wait, stop. Stop for just one moment. Unlike most of our pitch storms, we had to wait 5 minutes for Miss B's boyfriend to cool his fucking jets and get some stuff out of his system. So we actually cast this for the most part before even starting. That's why she's able to just roll all this off and I'm not debating her on half of it.
Yeah, we already discussed this. Like,
so, go ahead with the basic cast.
So, Grandma is going to be Betty White. The father is Doug Jones. Mother is Toni Collette. The older sister is Zoe Kazan, this chick from a show on Netflix called Clickbait. It's really good. Y'all should check it out.
Is that's the that's the movie, right? That what's his name was in?
It's a show.
Oh, it's a TV show.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Okay, so there's a TV show that's on Netflix. I thought there was also like a Clickbait movie that had like this guy who after got to a certain set of followers he dies.
Yeah, no, that's a show.
It's a TV show. Okay, continue on. Okay, I haven't actually seen it, so I have no idea. No clue.
The middle sibling is Will Poulter.
Okay.
And the younger sister is Maisie Williams, and these are all like our cannibals.
Okay. These are our cannibals. Yes. Okay, go ahead.
And the rich kids family, we've got two fathers, Billy Zane and Thomas Hayden Church. Both fucking fantastic.
Like Daddy Warbucks billionaires, you know?
Yeah.
But like, I don't want them to be like rich and snobby. I want them to be like that the gay couple that like constantly feels that they need to keep in touch with everything. So like the you know those people that are like they're supposed to be the fun parents, but they just kind of overdo it a little bit too much.
They overdo it because they need the gossip.
Like I can see them as like tech billionaires who like they want to kind of keep with it, keep with everything, and they embarrass the hell out of their kids on a continual basis.
Their daughter is Lulu Wilson, and they have twin sons played by Kai and Bodie Schultz, who played the twins from American Horror Story Murder House.
And Kai and Bodie are actually the biological children of Thomas Hayden Church from another marriage, whereas Lulu Wilson was adopted into the family, so she is rebellious as hell.
Yeah, she hates how snobby they are.
I want to say she came from a bad environment, maybe like she came from just a broken home, and feels like her parents taught her that everything that this family is something that she should fight against tooth and nail. That being said, I feel like she decides to break from the wealthy group and be part of the underprivileged kids, even though they bought her way into the whole thing. It's like, I'm not playing for you guys, I'm playing for them.
And, like, this whole camp thing, it's like, it's a ruse to get people to come hang out and fucking secretly kill and eat people.
Right, so that basically what they're doing is they're fattening all the children up during the weeks leading up, so they're feeding them different things that are going to make them more nutritious when the time comes. And what ends up happening is they're doing all sorts of like sporting and athletic events leading up to a parents' day, and the parents' day is a ruse to basically bring more people in and have this massive cannibalistic feast. Basically, there are other cannibals in the wait, waiting for their feast to be brought forth. And the entire time they're having all of these track and field events to compete, you know, one set of kids against the other, we have your underdog story. So the ones that got the scholarship to be there are the ones that are fighting against the wealthier kids to win. And they're supposed to be the underdogs. But in the background of the whole thing, the cannibals...
You got some, like, fucking... secret little like fucking midsummer shit going on where the campers are like going missing one at a time.
It turns out like the cannibals are almost chameleonistic aliens.
Yes.
And they are setting up this entire event. There's supposed to be a whole banquet dinner at the end, which you go, it's kind of a montage of them doing all these track and field events and then this massive banquet being put together. Unbeknownst to everybody there, all the food is drugged. They're not the kind of drugs that put you to sleep, but the kind of drugs that do that horrible thing that paralyze you. Right?
And you can't, You can't
move. You can feel everything. You can't move. And can't speak. All right?
Got you.
And I feel Lulu Wilson is the one that stumbles across this. Like,
okay.
So she stumbles across what's actually happening. So she's separated from her pack, and it's kind of... Her pack, yeah. Like, she's a werewolf. We're going to make her a werewolf in this movie. Because we've got aliens, why not werewolves? And she's confronted by the alien grandma, played by Betty White.
And she just kind of goes with it. She's totally cool with fucking everything. She doesn't give a shit.
Who goes with it? Lulu?
Lulu!
Lulu's like, wait.
I want her to, like, not question it at all. I want her to, like, act like it's a totally normal thing.
I want her to, I think, yes and no. I like that idea, but I think this is what should happen. I think she should stumble across it with disgust at first, like, what the fuck is going on, realizing what's happening.
Yeah.
And then, have you seen Buffy? Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Yeah, bits and pieces when I was a kid.
There's an episode where Buffy is working at a restaurant, the Double Meat Burger restaurant, and... it turns out that there is sort of an alien or a demon or whatever that's basically eating people and grinding them up into meat.
And
she goes through this
shit.
this whole speech trying to, you know, say why, you know, this, why me eating these people is a good thing, blah, 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 blah. I think that should be the interaction between Betty White and Lulu Wilson, is Betty White is basically laying down the reason why she is doing this. And it's not the first time. They've done this many times before. So what it is these people are not just the reason why they're calling these people down. The forms that they are currently in are the forms of people they have ingested in the past. What's happening is their chameleonistic abilities
only work. They got some curvy shit.
They have to eat the person that they are going to basically emulate. And then they go out into the world.
That's some fucking curvy shit, and I love it.
Right, exactly. I'm going to eat you and take your powers. At first, Lulu fights against it. And then Lulu's like, fuck no, let me help.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think I like that idea.
Fuck these douchebags.
Basically assisting with the alien invasion. I don't want there to be a happy ending to this story. I don't.
No.
I don't want
to. No, I'm with you.
The happy ending is that the aliens have a new home. That's the happy ending. It doesn't seem like a happy ending, but that should be the happy ending.
And they adopted Lulu.
Right? We're not going to eat you. You're just going to be one of us. You're going to help us.
Yep, you're part of the family now.
So Lulu just saves herself. And yeah, basically they go through the whole process of setting up this massive banquet of a meal to paralyze and cannibalize. It's not a cannibalistic thing because they're aliens, technically. They're aliens that have taken on the form of humans.
They all think that they're aliens up until they fucking de-chameleonize and show them their true forms.
I don't think they should be able to. I think that this race, how they conquer, and even after they've done it to this planet, how they conquer other worlds is basically they eat and then take on the personas and abilities of the people
that they've
eaten.
I want their faces to open up like the fucking Demogorgon from...
That would be beautiful. I like that. Or like, oh god.
You think we're cannibals, but really we're not.
Or like the face of the worms from Tremors. Like where they just kind of... And this... I like that idea. Well, yeah, halfway in between. I like the Demogorgon thing. And they take on the humans' forms. The only thing is, after they're done with this planet, they need to move on and slowly invade another planet. So it just keeps moving on like that. Because other beings are their primary source of food. They don't eat our food. You know? If one of them actually eats a cow, they turn into a cow. You know? So they live on a planet till they have completely and utterly exhausted the population, both animal, plant, and mineral. And then they move on. So they're completely... I don't know, is it parasitic? Would you call that parasitic?
Codependent, maybe?
Codependent. Like just something that just completely lays waste to everything living.
Yeah. Viral.
Yeah, whatever. They just completely lay waste to everything. That's how they conquer planets, and they because Lulu joined them and has decided to help them, that's the only reason she lives. She's like,
I like it.
Sort of like a if you can't beat them, join them kind of thing. And I think that Betty White having that
cute little grandma.
The cute little grandma giving the speech about why it's okay to eat everybody and everything. But how does Lulu become a cannibal after this? Does she become a cannibal? Like, does she eat along with everyone else?
She doesn't need to. She has unlimited food supply now. The world's not starving.
Well, I mean, eventually she wouldn't have an unlimited food supply, especially if...
Yeah, food goes bad. But, yeah.
I mean, do they think...
I don't know, they wouldn't I'm pretty sure they would understand... They're an advanced alien race. I'm sure they would understand that every species does not all eat the same thing.
I wonder if they don't completely take us over. I wonder if they eat enough to kind of be the dominant population on the planet and then turn the humans into cattle.
Yeah,
we end up being the cows.
Yep.
And Lulu is just the one person that was smart enough to go, I'm not fighting this. It's going to happen anyway. You know? Almost like the thing. The creatures in the thing. You know, are we infected or are we not? I mean, we can just wait here. I don't think it's in our best interest to go out there. Let's just sit here and, you know, let it be what
just
it is.
Just wait it out. It is what it is.
It is what it is at this point. I almost like the idea of them being more like the creature in the thing. Where it just kind of goes, takes over the human being, But they have to do it a certain way. There has to be a ritual for them to be able to take over. I think that still leans
They gain the years of the creature they consume, years they had left.
I think that works. And like I said, if they use them as cattle, if they raise humans like they would cattle, then technically they can gain their youth by eating younger humans.
Babies.
Oh, God. Let's not eat babies. We're not going to go that way.
They're going to eat babies.
No. No, because I don't think...
We're not going to see it. We're not going to show it, but you know they're eating babies.
I don't think they would eat babies because they'd want it to be a functional enough human to be able to... Yeah, they don't want to eat a human that's still in the shitting and pissing its pants phase. You know what I mean? They raise them to a certain point and then eat. Like young adult. You know, even young teenager they could do because it's... You have your hand-eye, you have your motor coordination at that point. You have enough intelligence at that point. Eating a baby, on the other hand, it puts you right at the beginning of everything. And no matter how intelligent you are, you're still an uncoordinated baby with no motor skills and have to... You're not going to end up with an entire world of Stewies. Exactly. Stewie was an alien.
No, I get it. True.
Stewie was an alien.
I wholeheartedly believe that.
He was an alien. This was their experiment. They're like, yeah, that didn't work out with Stewie. I don't think we're going to do this again. You seen that baby? He can't take over. He has so many guns. Can't do shit. No, we'll just... He couldn't even take out his mother. Sorry.
Don't worry about it.
So.
He definitely could have.
He could have.
I'm pretty sure there was a couple of times.
I think there
was... But then fucking Lois went all Rambo on him in the fucking White House. It was crazy.
Yeah, I remember that episode. But wasn't that episode all in like VR goggles or something? Like it was all a dream or...
Yeah, I think it was like Stewie running a simulation on whether or not it would happen if he did kill Lois.
And it never works out well for him, his plans to, I will kill you. No. No. It never works out well for him. I don't think you're going to end up with an entire alien race of super babies. It's just not going to happen. I don't think
that's
it works
some Rick
that
and
way.
Morty shit.
That's, yeah, an entire, yeah, that is. I think Rick and Morty leads more towards the Cronenberg worlds. Like, just weird aliens.
They did feature the Cronenberg world.
Yep. Kind of like, I think they had that idea from... I don't know if you've seen the original... not the original, but the...
The Fly.
Jeff Goldblum version of The Fly.
Yeah. No, we talked about this.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where he was coming from with the whole Cronenberg thing, is just...
Yeah.
Cronenberg had some weird, sticky, disgusting monsters, let me tell you.
He did it well, though.
He did it well enough for that Rick and Morty liked him. They emulated him, said this has to be an entire world of just Cronenberg demons, where everybody's been Cronenberged. So...
I don't know what else to do for this pitch storm.
I think we've pretty much done it. I mean, the end game is that Lulu fights for a short period of time and then says... To hell with it.
I want them to do like an after credit scene with Lulu like all grown up, like, I don't know, 15 years later. And I want her to be like a general for their army.
Right. Getting ready. Just be heading one of the ships that's getting ready to invade another planet.
Yeah.
What planet though?
And who do we want to play adult Lulu?
Oh dear.
Hang on.
Adult.
We didn't think about this before.
Adult Lulu would be played pretty well by Kate Hudson. They kind of look similar. Anna Faris might play a good adult Lulu and give her a chance to take sort of a less comedic role. Oh God, I'm trying to think. There's several people that would fit into the. But you want this to be half black comedy, half horror, basically.
I feel like Kate Hudson would be a good one.
Yeah,
Lulu as a, but I want her to like have a half shaved head with some like cybernetic shit embedded into her skull, and I want her to be like this fucking badass.
Okay, so you want her to like basically they provide technology or give her technology or implant technology to give her some of the advantages that their race already
that
has. Maybe they could even go through a ritual to give her the same powers that her race has of being able to ingest and thus emulate other races.
I dig it.
other aliens.
We'll call the race Echoes.
Yeah. Yeah. Echoes?
Yeah.
Okay, I could see that, just for the reason that they're basically emulating and echoing the abilities of other beings.
Exactly.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. Okay, so our race of aliens is called Echoes. I like that.
And, like, cool. I want like, that after a credits scene, I want her to be, like, standing at the front of the ship, like, approaching a new planet and fucking, like, I don't know, it's super lush and beautiful and all this shit, and she's like, we're gonna have a good time.
Oh, or we could go the other way, and her family...
And, like, sorry.
If you go the other way, because we went the way that we did, where Lulu basically gave in and became one of them, right? We could go the other way, and the next set of campers that come in to Lulu and her family, inviting them to be part of the camp, rather than this other family that starts off with everything. Betty White is still there, though.
Betty White just, like, chills the entire time.
Betty
She's
White
always
is always
in the background making fucking, like, snide comments.
I think she should be the... I think Lulu Wilson should be there with her family. I think Betty White should have been the one greeting everybody.
Yeah.
Come join us. Come on, come sit down. Fuck off, stay over there.
Oh, yeah.
Come here, come on. Go in your line. You belong in that line over there. No, you guys come over here. She's smiling when she's talking to the underprivileged kids. She's just cussing at him. Go over there. You know.
Yeah, fuck off.
You know where you belong. No, that's horrible. That's horrible. She could pull it All off, right. but it's still horrible. So
I'm going to call it a night.
I'm going to call it a night as well. Thank you on behalf of myself and Miss B for sitting down with us and indulging us in a little bit of goofiness in the memory of Betty White. And Miss B is kind of muting herself a little bit because her boyfriend is now just letting loose in the background. But in
He like vaguely heard that we were starting to shut down.
Low.
So now
guttural.
We have this shit. Hi, Fredo.
Hi, Fredo. Goodbye, Fredo.
God.
Just these low whispers taunting Miss B. As we...
He's not even trying to whisper. He's yell whispering.
Yeah. No, I can hear him loud and clear. He is quite loud.
My love!
Your love. It's okay. We're just going to go ahead and shut this down. Thank you for spending the time with us tonight. And Miss B, go ahead.
Drink some fucking water, you thirsty bitches.